It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This is the Sandler Training Hour. Each week I bring you talent from all over the United States, in fact, worldwide, and I have my friend James Albison from Seattle with me. Welcome, James.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
And you've been a guest on our show before. Tell the folks a little bit about who you are and your business there in Seattle.
I'm James Albison. I'm the principal of top-tier training and development here in the Seattle area, Sandler licensee. Been in this business now for about, been a Sandler franchisee for about 6.5 years now. My previous background was about 20 years of sales in the medical arena, pharmaceuticals, biotech, devices, diagnostics, equipment, and that sort of thing.
Wow.
And then kind of migrated over to Sandler about 6.5 years ago and have been going at it ever since.
That's a big transition from biotech sales to consult. How did you migrate that change?
In the past, I always had some sort of training, it seems, responsibility, even as a sales rep. I always had some sort of training, coaching responsibility. So it really wasn't that much of a leap to start the Sandler franchise as far as, you know, the logistics of it. It's just a matter of really expanding my reach in
right.
different industries and really talking about a different selling system, obviously the Sandler selling system
right.
and everything.
Had you known about Sandler before you started?
I knew nothing about Sandler before I started. There's two contingents when it comes to Sandler trainers, as you're well aware of. Either you were a former client or you knew something about Sandler and that's what brought you to take an action.
Right.
Or you knew nothing at all and
yeah.
somehow you kind of accidentally came upon it. I'm in the latter group.
Mm-hmm. We both learned the hard way, didn't we?
Right. Pretty much.
One of the things I have found in my experience is very often people are guilty of sales malpractice. And what I mean by that is they hear a problem the client has, they immediately think, oh, I can fix it, and they move into that premature presentation. One of the mm-hmm. ways we have stopped that in our practices is we have this assessment process that we go through. So share with our listeners, big picture, how do you take someone from, gee, I've heard about Sandler and I'm interested in having you help me, to really knowing what you do to help your clients?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And like you say, a lot of times we can be guilty of that sales malpractice, basically trying to fix the problem before you really understand the problem, because a lot of times when potential clients come to you, they feel they know what the problem is, and it's really on the surface, especially if it's with their sales team or their sales management.
Right.
Through further discussion, you find out that maybe what they thought was the problem wasn't the problem, but one of the things I think that I know I've definitely migrated to early on in my Sandler career and a lot of other Sandler trainers is that, you know, we need to do a diagnosis to ensure that we're addressing the right problem, the right issue.
Mm-hmm.
Understand the workings, if you will, of if it's the team, the individual, to you wouldn't really trust a doctor if you went with a cough. You went in, coughed a couple of times and told him or her, they broke out the prescription pad and wrote a prescription and said, okay, pay your office. Your office call, your office pay up front and we'll see you later.
Right.
There's a lot of things that, you know, what's the underlying cause of that? One of the first things I explain is at a discovery meeting, you know, this meeting might end in one of two ways. We might discover we're not a fit, or we might discover where we are a fit, and then the next step, likely, depending on what we talked about, will be some sort of assessment of the team, of the individuals that we've been thinking about, and that's where that diagnosis comes in.
What are some of the things that you find out about people when they take the assessment?
One of the things that you find out, and when I talk to, let's just imagine I'm talking to a business owner with five people on the sales team. One of the things we're looking for, obviously, what are their strengths? A lot of those things are visible, but also what are the hidden strengths that maybe you don't know about or you're unaware of? What are their weaknesses? We want to know that, but what are their hidden weaknesses? What kind of tendencies are they liable to continually exhibit? I mean, why is it that even though you laid out out the plan of what they're supposed to do, they still did not do it. You handed them the tools, you put it in their hands, but they still didn't build the house you want them to build.
Right.
And that's because conceptually there's something behind the scenes that did not allow them to do it. That's not their behavioral tendency, and those are the things that they subjectively, they don't want you to see. So how do you actually take an objective assessment, an objective snapshot, to give you a better idea of, well, quite frankly, A, you know, should you have hired this person, and, you know, do you have the right person in the seat on the bus?
Right.
But B, yeah, how do you properly develop that person, and what can you expect from an from a standpoint of growth or training or coaching or consulting? Those are some of the things that I will talk about with my clients of what we're looking for before they invest what could be a large amount of money into an endeavor that could be an exercise in futility.
Right, good point. So, James, from your vantage point, what do you see as the key ingredients, if you will, for someone to be successful in a selling role?
For one is ambition and drive. Mm. People can talk a good game in an interview or even in their first 90 days, or who knows, they've been on the job for 5 years, and they say, oh, you know, I've turned over a new leaf and I'm really designed to do that. But when you get a snapshot of what their ambition and drive, their goal orientation, what it actually looks like, that can give you an idea, you know, are they at any cost type of person, you know, at all costs will I meet my goal, or do I set even challenging goals for myself, or do I set safe goals? The ones I know I can make. Nothing wrong with, you know, either individual. You have to know exactly what kind of position to put them in or what you can expect from them to, as far as success goes. Another aspect of success would be when you look at their tendency to accept challenge or growth or change. You know, there are some people who are flat out comfortable in the spot they are. I don't want to learn anything. I don't need to grow. I'm probably going to resist it. But then there are others who you want to find out if they're really open to that sort of thing, because that's what training and coaching and consulting is all about. So, hey, what kind of objective measure do you have when it comes to their tendency towards that sort of thing? When you think about it, you want an objective measure of what type of organizational tendencies the person has, as far as time competency, as far as their tendency towards structure or unstructure, their overall process orientation. Do they like to go about things in a systematic fashion? Are they usually ones to finish what they start, or do they leave a lot of loose threads hanging out? Are they easily distracted by the squirrel running by in front of them? and they're not going to tell you that.
Right,
they're just simply not going to tell you that. Through the objective assessments that we do, you can predict and see exactly either proof of what you have seen or a future snapshot of what you likely will.
Of what you're going to get if you do hire this individual.
Exactly.
When we get back from this break, I want to ask you, James, about some of the red flags that you see when you do an assessment that makes you say, wait a minute, we may have some challenges here. My name's Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. My guest today is James Alberson. James, give your contact information in case somebody'd like to reach out to you.
Oh, sure. My phone number is 206-805-8848. That's to our office here in the Seattle area. And email information is james.alberson, that's A-L-B as in Bravo, E-R-S-O-N. There's no T. I'm not an heir to the family fortune of the grocery store.
Which is home office James. Here in Boise.
Right. james.alberson@sandler.com. And our website is www.toptier.sandler.com.
Awesome. We'll be back just after this break for more of James Alberson and our discussion about taking an X-ray to diagnose the type of team you have, or maybe even a snapshot of somebody you may be looking to hire. If you'd like to reach out to me, my number is area code 208-429-9275, and we're on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. pretty drastic results, I would say.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story about folks who you may have heard of but have never had the opportunity to hear their story. My guest today is Don Ryman. Don's the owner of Echelon Group. They're a financial planning and service group. Is that fair to say, Don?
Yeah, in the broadest sense, with also consulting for employer services.
And specifically, you work with companies that have 50 or more employees, and you really help them with far more than financial planning. You almost serve as an advisor to their HR department to help consolidate some of the offerings that might be provided by a multitude of other vendors. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, that would be one of the aspects of what we do, yes.
I just think there's a degree of risk inherent in every business decision that oftentimes business owners don't realize. And some of the things that CEOs, CFOs might delegate to others can have a resounding and expensive impact that was unintended. So what do you see from the cost of delegating that was an unintended consequence that if I'd have been more involved as a CEO, I could have kept this from happening?
Well, I think one of the things that's fairly common for us to see anymore is that historically, CEOs and even some CFOs have delegated the benefit decision making to the HR department because that's who typically deals with
right.
the employees in that part. But when you look at the major cost increases we have had in providing benefits, it is such a big ticket item to any business now. If I was going to give one piece of advice to owners out there now is that they and their CFO probably need to be more involved in the decision making around the implementation and purchase of their employee benefits than they have been in the past.
Well, but I think part of the reason they aren't is because there's just too many moving parts. I mean, who wants to spend the time it's going to take to talk to five different vendors and suppliers? Isn't that one of the things that your firm has figured out a solution to?
Most employers do work with some type of consultant, like for their insurance benefits. What I've seen transpire over the last few years is that they may have somebody they worked with a long time, but they don't know what they're not getting. With the increase in regulation and changes in plan design and uncontrolled increasing costs for insurance, that some of what I would call our competitors, I guess, are still stuck in doing things the way they've always done them. And so they're, one of the things that's kind of a industry secret out there is the relationships that those brokers have with some of their primary carriers. There, a lot of people don't realize how much they're really paying their broker or consultant. And as a business owner, I can tell you there's times when they're paying as much or more than they are a full-time employee, and they need to look at that, and that's something they can ask by calling their carrier and say, how much are we paying our consultant? And then compare that to what they think they're getting for those services. If the value is there, great. Combined with that is the issue of any biases or relationships that a broker may have with different carriers. A good broker or consultant is paid well on the commission level. What's not as commonly known is a lot of these carriers also provide incentive bonuses for adding new benefits or retaining. And I've seen more than once where a decision was made to stay with a company or not look at another company because it could impact the producers or the accountant's
makes
bonus.
Sense. It really does make sense. So give your contact information in case there's a listener who'd like to have a conversation with you.
Don Ryman at echelongroup.com, echelongroup.com, 345-9944.
All right, we're going to be back, Don, on our second segment of Behind the Business. We'll be back just after this.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. I have as my guest today, James Alberson. James is a Sandler trainer in the Seattle area. He's been in the business, I think, what'd you say, James? Seven, 8 years?
About 6.5 years.
6.5 years. We've been talking about how important it is for you to know what you're working with when you have a team of people in sales and or management. One of the tools that we use is called, it's from a company called the Divine Group, and it gives you a developmental plan based on 33. The way we get the assessment is our clients go in and they answer a series of questions, takes maybe about 30 minutes. And the outcome of that, you're taking a snapshot of yourself in these 33 areas. Based on the findings, we're able to identify how these different attributes interrelate to one another. And as a result of that, you get to see a lot about an individual. For example, James talked earlier about time competency. There's two factors in time management. One is schedule orientation, and the other one is time competency. Schedule orientation is how well you schedule your time. Time competency is how efficiently you manage it. And it's possible to have somebody that's very schedule focused, but not very efficient. And these are some important information that if you know it in advance, before you hire, you're going to be able to predict the type of success you'll have with a candidate. And if you use it for your existing team, it really gives you a developmental plan. So, James, share with our listeners about that developmental plan, the tactical, here's the action steps you need to take that come with this analysis.
So not only do the results give you a snapshot of the competencies that they need or you want them to have to be successful in the type of position you're looking for, not only does it give you a breakdown of those 33 behaviors, but it goes on to parse out their strengths and kind of a narrative about that, but more importantly, and pulls out their areas of development, and you get a full page report on each particular behavioral area of development. Some of them, they call them basically opportunities or high marginals or low marginals in the area of behavior. Everything from growth suggestions for books to read or actions to take, what the new behavior model should look like, what the current one looks like. And then you even have a place to develop a growth and development plan for the individual. So let's just say you're a manager who's really taking heart in their responsibility to go with their respective team members, and I get this report, you know, I can pull out, I can actually look at your strengths and jot a couple down and say, okay, and let's give some examples of how we want to exploit and really lock down that strength and grow it, but also from a developmental area, what one or two areas do we really want to focus on? And what's the action plan that we want to put together that focuses purely on your listening behavior.
Right,
listening
right.
is one of the behaviors they look at. And we all know some people who hear what they want to hear, right? and that can be very detrimental in sales, because sometimes the biggest deals can hinge on the smallest piece of information that one person heard that the other person didn't.
Right.
And so if you do identify that individual, okay, well, what's the action plan? What are we going to put together that really focuses on improving your listening skills? That might involve teaching them and then coaching them on active listening. How often are they paraphrasing or restating what they've said? And a manager can then maybe make those observances, if you will, when they ride with them on a call, or, you know, role play those things. So that's the nice thing about it, about the report. You actually have some pages where you can put that plan in place. We all know sometimes people have the best intentions, but if you don't give them every tool possible to theoretical into actual,
right,
they just may not do it.
I think one of the real beauties of the report, too, is that it makes it black and white. It takes all the guesswork mm-hmm. out. Now your employee is looking at a picture they drew of themselves. There's no guesswork left. You as a coach mm-hmm. are able to use this report. In fact, we have a customized coaching report specifically for managers to coach from. Share a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that coaching report.
Yes, and the coaching report can, once again, it takes quite a bit of the guesswork out of it for the individual, pulling out the developmental areas, how you might want to go about the particular, let's just say, coaching aspect. I guess the approach you may want to take, I mean, give you some suggestions as well on what to do. You know, everybody can't be a master of all ways to develop somebody.
Right.
So why not have a laid out game plan when it comes to the results that you get and how you want to actually take that and put that coaching into effect. So the coaching, the coach report can be very beneficial in really having half of your work done for you and then just taking it into account to execute the suggestions it gives you and seeing the results kind of come as you're hoping they will.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of these competencies. In fact, let's talk about the primary competencies that we look for in a salesperson. The first one that James already mentioned is ambition and drive, which is really the desire to be the best and the commitment to do whatever it takes to excel personally. The next primary competency is called close and control, which is really controlling the sales process and leading it quickly towards a conclusion. Share a little bit about why close and control is so important in a salesperson.
Closing control is important to the salesperson because typically in the traditional sales process, it's the prospect who has control. They view the salesperson in some ways as, well, a salesperson. And hey, you know, let me tell you what I need, what I want. You're going to give me everything that I ask for because if not, hey, you know, you're not going to get the sale. I know how badly
right.
you want the sale.
Right.
There's no what we call equal business stature in the relationship. And quite frankly, the salesperson allows them to do that. Now, if you have somebody who's controlling close competency is high, what that's going to tell you is their desire to naturally steer the sales process and move it to a decision. Because now whether that decision is yes or no, it's better than limbo.
Right.
And too often salespeople find themselves in limbo. They try and get a hold of the prospect and they find out that the prospect has secretly been taken away and placed into the witness relocation program because they can't find him anymore.
Right.
And that's because they did not have the tendency to control the process. So the things that control and close tendency, it'll tell you kind of how much control they're going to have in understanding the decision-making process and developing the equal business stature. And I won't get too much into it, but when you talk about transactional analysis, the parent-child ego state, how often they're going to actually be in that adult ego state to make sure the tough questions are asked move this thing along to end it. Some people are naturally geared towards doing that, and some people aren't. And the people who aren't are going to have a whole lot of loose ends
right.
that just simply go nowhere. And ultimately, you then lengthen the sales cycle. You lose a lot of opportunities, and things just don't end up the way you want them to.
The third of the five primary competencies is problem solving, and that's offering value through assessing a situation and envisioning a solution that uniquely meets the needs of the client. James, share with the listeners what problem solving is all about.
Now, you know, this is an interesting one, so let me try and be as succinct as possible. When people see problem solving on the report, let's say it's a low score, and they say, what are you talking about? Man, I'm really good at solving a problem. Something happens, and I figure out the solution, and there you go. Well, there's two ways to solve a problem, if you will. There's solving the problem when it comes up, or there's having the foresight to not have the problem solved, the problem come up. You know, you can put out a fire as soon as the fire starts, or you can foresee that I need to move the candle further away from the drapes so I don't have a fire. What this problem solving represents
yeah.
is the latter. It's how well their a planner, how well their planning capabilities are. It's the fact that they're more proactive in their thinking than reactive.
That's great.
And that's the type of salesperson that you want that's going to anticipate situations and plan accordingly.
This is the Sandler Training Hour. My guest today is James Alberson. James, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Sure. Phone number 206-805-8848. The website is toptier.sandler.com, and the email is james.alberson@sandler.com.
All right, and my name's Jim Stevens. We're available at 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. The next segment of the show is called Entrepreneur Radio. In this program, we interview local and regional entrepreneurs. We get to hear their story of success and learn some insights from them. If you or someone you know would like to be on this program, please give me a call. That number once again is 208-429-9275. We're going to be back with Entrepreneur Radio just after this.
I have faith in the Sandler system. When you tell me things, sometimes it seems counter to what my instincts would tell me to do, but I go out there, I try it, and it works. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to keep going out there and putting it to you. This is something that's very, very different than any course that I've taken, and the results are going to be different as well. Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say. Firsthand, I would put my stamp on it. You will see results from this. I would do it.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome back to Behind the Business. My guest today is Don Ryman, and Don's the owner of the Echelon Group, founder. Don's firm provides, you almost provide a service that takes a lot of varied providers. You manage that process for your client.
One of the problems out there today in running a business, with each solution, there are so many different options. It's overwhelming. And we talk payroll systems, for instance. If somebody's going to purchase a new payroll system and they try and do it themselves, the word gets out. They'll have five different vendors talking to them. Oftentimes, the person within the firm that's looking at it doesn't have the experience, the knowledge, the expertise to even know what questions to ask. Unfortunately, in that environment, most of the salespeople are tasked with getting the sale, then it's handed off to an implementation person, and then it goes right to the service person. So that leads to what I would say is exaggerations, omissions, and sometimes flat-out misrepresentation.
One of the things you mentioned in the last segment, that there is a conflict of interest, could be, between some insurance providers and the spiffs or incentives they get.
A consultant has too strong a relationship or a loyalty to one or two carriers in the marketplace, then oftentimes they screen and don't show other viable options to employers. It shouldn't be that way, but it happens more often than we like to see.
You mentioned that your firm focuses and has really a core value of transparency. So does that mean you're transparent with your clients about the fees charged and what you're getting for that?
That's correct. We provide each of our clients with the amount that we get paid for what we're doing. And trust me, we get paid very well, but we believe in also providing a lot of services and support for that. And that's something that varies from almost nothing to a lot, depending on who the employer is working with. And there are other good producers and consultants out there, but our industry is also one that has a relatively low barrier to entry from a financial services standpoint, insurance standpoint. It really comes down to trying to find out who you can trust that will give you the full disclosure.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking that must be unique in your industry, that level of transparency, or is that more common than I am aware?
It is less common than it should be, and we think that as costs get so high, employers are starting to say, wait a minute, we have to know what this is costing us. And obviously, those fees are a direct relationship to the premium, and it's challenging when you're delivering double-digit increases to an employer, and then you see that the you get this big bonus check on top of your regular compensation. You know, I don't think most employers know that that side of the business is there.
Right, right. Well, on our last segment, I'm going to ask you to address some of the bold changes people are going to have to make if they're going to continue to offer the benefit packages that really great employees need to stay in business. We're going to be back with the final segment of Behind the Business after this short break. My name's Jim Stevens, and I'm available at crossroads.sandler.com, or pick up the phone and call at area code 208-429-9275. Don, why don't you give your contact information? I'm guessing somebody there might want to reach out to you.
That's Don Ryman at echelongroup.com, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. group.com, 345-9944.
Awesome. We'll be back just after this.
You can hire a personal trainer to get your body in shape. You can hire a golf pro to get your swing in shape. How about hiring a trainer to get your sales team in shape? Sandler Training can show you how and why salespeople fail. They'll share the most common mistakes and how to avoid them. Sandler Training programs will guide managers and their teams with tips, techniques, and proven methods to close the deal. New and veteran sales reps can make costly mistakes. Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. This segment of our program, I bring in entrepreneurs, people whose names I've heard of, but I've never had the pleasure of meeting. And Larry Downs is my guest today. If you have been a follower of auctions or estate sales, you have met Larry or at least met his team. I know I've been to Larry to probably five or six of your estate sales. So thank you for your service and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Downs Auction. Give us the big picture.
Well, it's a family business. My dad started in 1979, and my wife and I bought out in 2001. We offer a wide variety of services to families that are in need of a change, especially in the estate world where maybe mom and dad are making a change or the kids are taking over, and we offer a way out of selling your personal property and your real estate all in one day. And so I would say our biggest thing is we offer is to simplify your life, make it a little easier in that transition to help you move forward and just make it a little bit easier to make a change.
And what's your geographic area, Larry, do you cover?
Wow, it's everything. Obviously, some of the older generations of people that are moving into a care center or maybe have passed away, we're coming in and helping the family and the kids that are taking over that estate or trying to close out the estate. So it's pretty wide.
Wide range. And where all do you go? How far do you go, like Twin Falls or?
We do. Southwest of Idaho here from Twin Falls to Riggins, and then Eastern Oregon all the way to Baker City, Oregon, cover kind of the whole western side here and the eastern side of Oregon.
So before you bought the business from your dad, were you an auctioneer then? Were you working for him, I'm guessing, in the business?
Yeah, I became an auctioneer, actually graduated from the Western College of Auctioneering in 1981.
Really?
Dad started the company in 79. And so it was kind of a family business at that point where my granddad had a secondhand store downtown Nampa.
Huh.
And so it kind of evolved from the secondhand store to the auction company and now to what it is today where we're one of the dominant real estate auction companies around.
Did the real estate company grow out of the auction? Because here you are liquidating a state. They've got a house for sale. Makes sense. So tell us about the entrepreneurial creation of the
Downs Realty.
Downs Realty.
Yeah, Downs Realty started in 2009 with a vision that I wanted to take the auction company and become a real estate auction company. And so my dad started out the estate side. We continue that today, but I wanted to actually turn it into a real estate auction company. And my dad and I did sales prior, but it just wasn't the main focus. Now the real estate's the main focus.
So it's taken over the auction side?
It really is a huge part. The estate side is still big, and we get a lot of the real estate auctions from the estates. And so they work very well together. Typically speaking, most people have a house, and if you've got an estate, you've got a home, or you've got property, and so they really tied together very
well. Yeah, no, that's a great marriage. How was the transition between you taking over and your dad letting go of the company? That's got to be hard.
It was. My dad and I worked together forever. That's not easy, you know, working with your dad or working with your son. And I'm in that position now with my two oldest kids, and I'm seeing what I probably did to my dad back in the day. But we're very grateful. He taught me a lot.
Right.
And I think we share a lot with our children now as they start to step in and take the roles. My two oldest children are both real estate agents, are very active in the auction company. It's trying to teach them what I know and trying to, you know, share the things that my dad shared with me, and now I'm sharing that with them. So third generation, and my oldest son is trying to become an auctioneer, a bid counter.
Yeah, in our business, the consulting side of what we do, I've helped multiple companies transition from founding generation to the next generation. And I found the most difficult part, it's not how do you structure the deal, it's emotionally getting the founding generation emotionally prepared to let go.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope my children could take my shoes and, you know, feel the void that I'll leave sooner than not. You know, I'd be ready to move forward. My dad has been a workaholic. He still loves to work at 77, still comes to the auctions.
Oh, he does? He still comes to the auction?
He still comes, you know, loves to do that, and he loves the auction world.
Awesome.
I've grown into that. You know, the auction world has been very good to my family, been able to help thousands of people, and so it's fun to have my kids step into that role.
That is terrific. And what a great legacy that not only your dad passed to you, but you're passing to your kids. So they're primarily involved in, your kids are primarily involved in the real estate company. Are they agents there? What's their roles?
They both do have a real estate license in Idaho. My son, Dusty, works mostly in the auction company. He's really in charge of helping run and help the production of the auction world. Summer, daughter's licensed in Idaho and Oregon. And she's more involved in the real estate side. So kind of a separation there, but yet we still all do everything.
And you all benefit from the common name and the shared resources.
Absolutely.
Yeah, going to those estate sales, it just looks to me like there is a ton of work ahead of time. You must have an army of people that go in and get things set up.
Yep.
Tell our listeners about how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. The day of the auction is all the work that's been done prior to. Typically, it's about a 30 or 45 day process to get to the auction day. A lot of setup, a lot of inventory, a lot of promotion, and then just getting things prepared for the auction, getting things cleaned up and getting them visible for the public to see. It's a lot of work getting to that point. And I think that's one of my strong points of my business now is the service we provide to families. My whole thing is to make your life simpler and to help you relieve that pressure of what do we do? You know, what do we do with all these items?
Right.
And I can help with that and make it a simpler transition.
Boy, and that's a lot of emotional connection there that I imagine people are having to let go of. So you'd probably end up as a therapist and family counselor.
Sometimes.
So, Larry, give your contact information in case there's somebody out there who's thinking, yeah, you know, we should be thinking about downsizing. I've got a parent who is in a position where we need to start planning for the future.
You know, the best way is to go to downsauction.com. You can reach us through that website. We also have downsrealty.com. But to call us directly, my auction office manager at 208-467-1712 is the best place to start, to give her the information, and she can feed it out to either the real estate division or my estate division, kind of guide you that way and get you in touch with me.
It doesn't seem like I'd be doing my listeners justice if I didn't have an auctioneer actually auction. So can you give your commercial, to give us a teaser of what auctioning sounds like?
Well, I can definitely do that. I wasn't ready for that, but pretty easy chant, and most people think it's hard to understand an auctioneer, and once you understand the cadence and the rhythm of the bid calling, but I can give you a go not being warmed up, but 25, 30, hit 30, 35, 35, 40, 40, 40, 45, 45, 50, hit 50, 55, 60. 2.5, 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15, 17.5, 20. So all of our numbers are always in the same increments.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of learning how to chant and have that rhythm, you know, to make it work.
Awesome. You're a master. That was, for unprepared, that was terrific. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
We're going to be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Everything you teach is centered around not doing what the customer expects, that dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing and didn't like my job when I was having to do that. And it changed my actual job description and the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do, and I love going to work, and I don't feel like I'm getting caught in that dance anymore. I'm able to actually talk to people, and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques. They end up selling it themselves, and I feel like I'm not even selling.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to the final segment of Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story. We've been talking with Don Ryman. Don's the founder of the Echelon Group. They provide businesses with 50 or more employees with a single resource to handle all things related to financial management, insurance management, and many of the things that you may be going to multiple people. Here's one person who can give you a broad, unbiased, transparent suggestion. So you've talked a little bit about the transparency that your firm has. I'm guessing with the changes, and you mentioned the cuts that people are needing to make to just stay competitive, what are some of the changes that you think managers, owners of businesses are going to have to make in order to stay competitive?
Rather than just checking it off as, okay, this is how much we're going to increase that expenditure, because at the current increasing trends of cost of like medical insurance, it's not sustainable. The key is they're going to have to make some tough decisions, because the solution in the past has been to raise deductibles, raise out-of-pocket costs, and raise the amount of money that the employees had to contribute. Well, that's just shifting the cost. And one of the things that we stopped and looked at was, if you take a $6,500 out-of-pocket cost for somebody that makes $45,000 a year as a percentage of their income, people don't look at it that perspective. But one bad year for an individual, you know, is going to be a high percentage of their income that they're obligated for. So we got to do something to control that cost and shift the services to where they're affordable and can be used, which ultimately saves big expenditures for medical things that aren't addressed at an earlier stage.
So are you saying that we need to not think of medical insurance as the cost of health care, but more for catastrophic purposes?
Well, there's a trend out there that we would say is, again, looking at maybe higher deductibles for your major medical things, but actually trying to find solutions to make the everyday needs, doctor's visits, prescriptions, that type of thing. New in the marketplace, because Idaho is a little bit restrictive on their laws for this, is like, for instance, telemedicine. At a very affordable cost, you can purchase telemedicine for like a zero copay, where an employee can 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, can reach a board-certified licensed physician without leaving their home or office. And it's surprising how inexpensive that is. That makes that care very attractive and accessible. A lot of the employees won't take time off work to go see a physician because they can't afford to.
You know, for me, I don't like to take time to go see a doctor, so I love that idea. Are any other creative ideas that you have found to help offset some of these costs?
We've actually have been moving forward with things like what we'd call medical tourism. There are agencies around the country now, surgery centers, cancer centers, to where it's actually cheaper to pay the travel expenses for the employee to go there and a family member, get a higher quality of care and a lower cost. Now, that's not in every aspect, but those kind of programs are out there. So if somebody, would you rather go to somebody for a major procedure where they do 3 a month or where they do 15 a week?
Right. It's a very, very good point. Well, Don, you've been a great guest. I really appreciate you being on the show. Give your contact information in case there's a listener out there who's saying, yeah, maybe I should be a little more creative and talk to somebody who has a bit of a different perspective.
Okay. info@echelongroup.com,
345-9944. Awesome. Don Ryman, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. I have as my guest today, James Alberson. James is a Sandler trainer in the Seattle area, and we've been talking about the key components necessary for success in sales. What are the primary competencies that a salesperson needs to bring to the table to be successful? Number one, most important, ambition and drive, the desire to be the best and the commitment to do whatever it takes to achieve that. Number two, we talked about close and control, which is controlling the sales process, leading it quickly towards a decision, and that decision can be a yes or a no. And the third one we talked about was problem solving, which is really offering value through assessing the situation and figuring out a solution that uniquely meets the client's need. The fourth one we're going to talk about is relationship effectiveness. Now, this is making it a priority to be effective at establishing personal relationships with a prospect and maintaining them. So talk to us a little bit about relationship effectiveness and why that's so important in a salesperson.
Well, absolutely. So relationship effectiveness, we all say, or it's been, you hear it a lot. Well, you know, sales is relationship business, and how are you establishing the relationship? People don't care what you know until they know how much you care and things right. like that. And obviously that's important. Now, even though that's important, it doesn't mean that everybody is all that good at that relationship focus. You need to find out, once again, what's under the hood that goes into, is this person able to develop that sort of relationship and have that relationship effectiveness? And some of the things that play into that are what their sociability score is, which is the test will tell you what their communications score is. You show me somebody with a low communication score, I'll show you somebody who's probably going to have a little bit harder time with the relationship
right.
effectiveness
right.
because, hey, communication is very key in that. It may even be their presentation style. We all know somebody who may come across as very stiff, and maybe they think they're being professional and that sort of thing, but it's not building a good kind of feeling to the recipient, you know, if the relationship is important in trying to build that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's an empathy aspect
good.
That and the assessment measures. Obviously, somebody high in empathy is probably going to have a little bit more relationship effectiveness. Now, having said that, you don't necessarily want them too high in empathy and empathize with the prospect
right.
in every way, because when the prospect says, man, that's a lot of money, they say, well, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not
there,
good.
There needs to be a balance, and that's where the test is so effective at telling you, as you mentioned in the one of your intros, in telling you how these behaviors interrelate to each other to give you a good snapshot of what is going to be the final outcome when the rubber meets the road. So once again, relationship effectiveness, you want to have a good idea that if this person you have in this position is, let's just say, an account manager in a farmer type of position, well, you want them to have a high relationship
right.
effectiveness score. If you want a pure hunter who's just out there to go and no matter what, you know, get the kill and then move on, well, that high relationship effectiveness actually may hurt that individual in that position, because they're going to be too focused on trying to develop a relationship, and hey, they need to get the sale, get in and get out. So it's a tricky balance that you look for, but once again, that's why you have the assessment to really give you a leg up on things.
The final of the five primary competencies is called process orientation, and this is really using effective organizational skills to efficiently work a territory, follow through with customers, follow through in the selling process. Talk to us about the importance of process orientation in sales.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of touched on this earlier, and it certainly is important, because whenever you have a process, whenever you have a system, three things are going to be guaranteed. You're going to be more effective. You're going to be more effective with a process no matter what. You're going to be more efficient with a process, and the results are going to be more predictable. What the process orientation, well, if I'm hiring somebody, or if I have somebody on the team and I'm teaching them, let's just say, a particular way I want to do things, or I'm setting some things in place and maybe I don't have time to babysit their every move, I want somebody who's oriented towards needing a process. They need structure. They'll set some things up even for themselves. We have, you know, the assessment actually measures the amount of structure, behavioral tendency that they will have. It measures their detail orientation. You know, a perfect example of this, let's just say, forget sales, let's just say you're looking to hire somebody in an admin position. Well, you kind of want somebody in an admin position to be very detail-oriented. If not, you're probably going to see a lot of typos and a lot of grammatical errors in the written type of documents that that person actually creates. In a salesperson's role, detail orientation, I probably won't have as extensive or very good call notes because, you know, a detail here, a detail there, not important.
Not important.
You want somebody who actually has that. Once again, process orientation also speaks to their schedule orientation, their task completion, their concentration. I mentioned earlier how easily are they distracted by squirrels running across their path.
Right.
And so all of those different behaviors actually build into the competency we call process orientation so you know that they will effectively and efficiently work their territory and they're naturally inclined to do so either through their own creation of the process or you know that if you give them a process, they're going to appreciate it.
Yeah. Two of my favorites that I want to cover before we run out of time here have to do with management. So as a manager, I'm kind of a lazy manager. I want somebody who's a self-starter. I want somebody who is going to make sure that they are accomplishing the mission. And the two elements that I find most effective to have a self-starter are accepting responsibility, which is taking full responsibility of one's own obligations and making sure you meet an objective without any excuses. And the other one is self-awareness, which is really having the insight into your own strengths and weaknesses so you know where you're in over your head and you're willing to admit it. So talk to us a little bit about those two elements, self-awareness and accepting responsibility.
Certainly, I think you're right on the nose when it comes to what's going to make life easier for managers. Self-responsibility. We all know those individuals who, when something goes wrong, it's everybody else's fault but theirs, no matter what. They're excuse machines, and because they don't necessarily take responsibility, even when it seems as though there's some external blame that may seem legitimate, these individuals say, well, hold on a second, they take responsibility, and you know, how could I have avoided that external blame, that external source from even getting to that point? See, if I'm rear-ended on the road, okay, yeah, that person hit me. How well was I looking at the following distance that they were maintaining? Why didn't I get out of the way sooner? How much attention was I paying to the people behind me? And that's an example of where self-responsibility comes into play. You get a direct report, a sales rep or somebody reporting to you who has a high self-responsibility or accepts responsibility score, then you know they're going to take ownership of the things that they are charged with doing and the results. And your debriefing sessions are likely going to be that much more effective, and you're going to see, I think, more a rapid ascent to improving if improvement needs to be had in that sense.
Self-awareness is the ability to recognize your own limitations, and if you have somebody with high self-awareness, you don't have to argue with them about the problems they're having. They recognize it. Share a little bit about
absolutely.
That.
Oh, absolutely. When you get a report back and the self-awareness is a 2 or a 5, well, you should run, not walk, away from that individual because they simply are not aware of the areas that will likely cause or be impediments to their success. And your efforts to introduce ways to get them to that point will likely not be received in the way that you expect that they will. The person simply doesn't know that they, and I hate to say it, are as bad as they are. Not that they would be bad, but there's some growth to be had there.
Yeah. Awesome information. If you're interested in more information about these assessments, we use them for pre-hire. If you've got a candidate, you know how expensive it is to hire the wrong person. For a small investment, you can take these assessments and know for certain what you're getting. We also use them for team development. James, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you for more information.
Sure. Phone number 206-805-8848. Email address is james.alberson@sandler.com. And the website is toptier.com. www.sandler.com.
Terrific. And I'm available at crossroads.sandler.com. Our number here is area code 208-429-9275. We have these assessments available. You don't have to be a client, but we will warn you, it's one of the first steps. Once you step into it and try the water, you're likely to want to go swimming. We really appreciate you listeners spending your time on the weekend with us. Thank you so much. If there's anything you would like to have us address on air, give me a call. That number one more time is 208-429-9275. And remember, if you measure it, you will manage it. Have a great weekend.
I didn't expect the result to be as quick as they were. I've done programs where I've had quick results, but then I get bored with it. The difference with Sandler is I've stayed with it, and over the course of a year, I've continued to build on those results, and it's new stuff every time that I'm learning and applying. My business, there's a marked increase that everybody in my company has noticed and comes and says, what's going on? What are you doing?
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Our initial no-cost analysis will help you see the four steps required to achieve success. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.